I'm finally gonna start talking to you about my gospel. God's finally given me permission here in the last years of my life. I'm finally going to proclaim the message that I was separated for many, 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 many years ago, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that Paul? Yeah, that's Paul. That's Paul in Rome. Acts 28:28, finally, Israel's off the table, and now Paul can finally teach his evangel. So everything he writes, according to the theory, everything he writes from that time forward is for us today. Everything he wrote before, you know, he wasn't doing his job yet. Everything he wrote before in the previous 30 years, including 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, all these letters, nope, not for us, not for us. They belong to a dinosaur day, a previous era. That's the theory. It's called the Acts 28:28 theory, and it's all it is a theory, and it's absurd because it cuts Paul, it dissects Paul. It's incorrectly cutting the word of truth. It makes one too many cuts. Yes, we must cut Paul from the circumcision writers, of course, but we don't cut Paul from Paul. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender continuing with the series called The Limited Era, the series within the series within the series. Now, when I finish, when I finish this series within the series, I will return to the series within the series, and we have many things to talk about. Mr. Knox's opinion of the 7,000-year plan, he liked it. It looked good to him. It was symmetrical. It satisfied his soul. We're going to get back to the time gaps in the 77s from Daniel. We're going to show how God computes time and how this helps us today. And we're going to go to all the time bridges. I talked to you about the generations of Adam, the genealogy of Adam. One guy said, I'm so bored. Why do you have to talk about it? Because I wanted to show you that God takes care of years. Of course, you know that. So I'm going to look into further time bridges. So far in the series, within the series, I took you to the time of Abraham, the birth of Abraham. I think it was like 1948 FA, 1948 FA. We're going to go beyond that now into the current era, the present era. Yes, we are. And going to get into a thing called the second millennium. Yeah, and the third millennium, of course, and the fourth millennium, and the fifth millennium, and we are in the sixth millennium from Adam, and this millennium is set to end, but not according to our friend Clyde Pilkington, who says that this current era is limitless. Ooh, that's a mistake. In an article called The Current Era is Limitless, Clyde Pilkington Jr. says that we are all making a huge mistake to hope to escape our trials, because it could be centuries and centuries and centuries away, literally. So we're supposed to get married, have families. That's the highest calling today. That's the focus of our era, is your kid's birthday party. The focus, mind you. I'm not saying not have a birthday party for your kid, but that's the focus now, because our expectation has gone away very, very far away into a dim time into the future. Now, this is from Bible Student's Notebook, number 488, if you want to read Clyde's article, The Current Era is Limitless. Or I recommend reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul says the era is limited. That I recommend that to you. But if you want to compare the writings of Clyde with the writings of Paul, you can do that, and I want to make that available to you so you can go to the Bible Student's Notebook, number 488. Quoting now, Paul said that the previous era was limited. I can't go on. I have a problem here already. I have a problem right off the bat because Paul did not say the previous era is limited. He said the era is limited. It's Clyde that's added the word previous. So right off the bat, his very first sentence sets the tenor for the entire article. Paul said that the previous era was limited. I want to quote Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:25, now this I am averring, that is, I'm saying this very strongly. It's a strange word in the Concordant Version, averring. It's to speak strongly. Brethren, the era is limited. The era is limited. The era. And the is in dark face type. The era. It's the same era we're living in, folks. But Clyde doesn't think so because he cuts 1 Corinthians away from the rest of Paul's letters. The only letters that matter to us in the body of Christ are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, whatever Paul wrote after Acts 28:28. There's many, many problems with this theory, but the biggest problem, as our friend Aaron Welch has also pointed out, is that we don't know for certainty what dates Paul wrote his letters. For this Acts 28:28 hypothesis to be true, I mean to be really grasped onto and intelligently applied, you have to know when Paul wrote his letters. Is this a prison epistle? Is this a pre-Acts 28:28 epistle? Or is this a post-Acts 28:28 epistle? And all the scholars disagree as to dating Paul's letters. And the thing is, it has not pleased God to reveal to us the dates when Paul's letters were written. So here's Clyde Pilkington really should be obsessing over the dates. He should be a date setter in his own right. He should be straining to set the dates of when Paul wrote what, because that determines whether we take heed of what Paul says in that letter or not. Does it apply to us or Israel and that primitive dinosaur body of Christ way back there in the 1 Corinthians era? We're in a different era now, according to Clyde, but we're not. It's the same era. So Clyde, in his own right, should be a date setter. Set a date for Paul's letters. I'm accused of being a date setter because I'm setting a date for something that's is mentioned in Scripture, that is the passage of time, not the setting of dates per se, but the passage of time, the accounting of years, bringing us so many years from Adam to a time when it is prophesied that Christ will come to Israel to set up the kingdom. And it's true. What does that have to do with the body of Christ? Just this. We have to be out of here before that happens. So if we can know what's happening to Israel and with Israel, we can know what's happening with us. That makes a lot of sense. And ladies and gentlemen, I make sense for a living. This is what I do. I'm compelled to do it. So I have a problem right off the bat. Let me try to get through the rest of this opening quote in the opening paragraph. Paul said that the previous era was limited. However, this current era, which began when he revealed the pinnacle of his revelation found in his latter epistles, is limitless. Okay, I see so many problems and holes here that I'm going to tell you every single one of them. Not because I don't like Clyde. I love Clyde. This is nothing whatsoever to do with my love for this man or my respect for this man. I'm just criticizing his public article. Folks, if you're a writer, if you're a teacher of the evangel, and you put articles out there on the internet, or you make public statements, your statements are subject to critique, and they should be. I've said to you many times, don't believe what I say, look up. And I've misstated some things, and I've corrected, I've gone back and corrected myself. Other people have corrected me. I love to admit when I'm wrong. It's easy for me to admit that I'm wrong, because it happens so infrequently, you see. So, here we go. Paul said that the previous era was limited. No, he didn't. However, this current era, which began when he revealed the pinnacle. How do you know this current era began when Paul revealed the pinnacle of his revelation found in his latter epistles? And what do you mean by latter? Starting when? What year? What year is the line in the sand between what applies to us and what doesn't? Or could it be that Paul's signature, that Paul's name on his letters is what determines what is ours? Paul says that his name, the name Paul on a letter, was the mark of his evangel. And people were forging letters from Paul, and they were putting his name on it, as if to say this is from Paul, because Paul's name certified his evangel. It did not certify some early message he gave to Israel and an immature body of Christ that went by the wayside, that went the way of the Triceratops. No, his name, Paul to the Galatians, Paul to the Corinthians, Paul to the Romans, it's the name Paul, not Saul. That was his previous name. That was his Israelite name, Saul. It's the name Paul that appears in his letters that means it's ours. And how dare anyone cut any letter off that contains the name Paul. That is the name of the man who brought us the evangel of the transcendent grace of God. If we had a letter with the name Saul, maybe I could entertain that hypothesis. But if you're cutting Paul off, no, 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 no. However, this current era, which began when he revealed the pinnacle of his revelation found in his latter epistles, is limitless. So we're not living in a limited era. We're not living in an era that's being finished up, that's coming to a consummation. No, now the era is limitless, according to this article titled "The Current Era is Limitless" by Clyde Pilkington Jr. Okay, I have a problem already. Clyde, for one thing, he's assuming the point he claims to be proving. Yeah, so you have an article, the current era is limitless. That's a pretty bold statement, my friend. That's pretty out there, if you ask me, because it goes against what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:25. So you got some serious proving to do. Well, here's the proof. Paul said that the previous era was limited. However, this era is limitless. I'm stuttering because I'm getting a little upset. I got to calm down. Hang on a sec. Hang on. You may speak quietly among yourselves. Paul says the era is limited, and you can't just say it's limitless and assume your premise. Like, there's proof it's limitless, because Paul's latter letters, which we don't even know when they came about, when they started, prove that it's limitless. Really? Really? Where? How? Why? Secondly, Clyde states that this current era began when Paul revealed the pinnacle of his revelation found in his latter epistles. But when was this? Did it happen in the letter to the Ephesians? Did it happen in the letter to the Colossians? Did it happen in that magic place, Acts 28:28? By the way, Acts 28:28 is not a magic place. It's not a place where there's a giant velvet curtain and sprinkles coming down from on top of the stage or balloons. It is significant in that it's a judicial decision. Paul's on trial for his life, and it's once again stated that Israel is off the table and the nations will hear the grace of God. But that happened years ago already. This is the third time in the Greek scriptures that this quote from Isaiah is quoted by a man of God. No evidence is offered. That's the problem in this article, is no evidence is offered. And the statement is then made that this current era, which is defined by Clyde, not scripture, is limitless. As if he's thus far proven every point, which he hasn't. Okay, now he offers a dictionary definition of the meaning of limitless. Back to his article I'm quoting now. This is important. I'm not picking on anyone. This is important for your peace, important for my peace. This is important for how we think and act and live in a very, very unique era in time. Because we're not only in the current era that Paul mentioned, we're at the end of the current era. We're in the flourishing of the apostasy, and we're now staring down the barrel of the final years of Millennium 6. So it's hugely important what our mindset is. So this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm mentioning names. Martin, it's terrible you mentioned Clyde's name. Why? He wrote the article. What am I supposed to do? All right, Clyde Pilkington wrote this article, but since I'm going to call him Harold. I'm going to call him Joe. I think that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We're all subject to criticism. Just do it fairly. Be fair. Don't call me names. I'm not going to call Clyde names. I'm going to deal with his writing, what he wrote. I'm not going to devolve into calling someone name, disparaging their character. Clyde has the most sterling character of any man I've ever met. He gave me a home for 2 years in Pennsylvania when I was in great pain and adrift. Not spiritually, but in my life. He gave me an anchor. He gave me a home. Well, I paid him rent. He didn't, give it to me. But he offered it. opened his family, opened his arms. Sweetest guy I ever met. Having said that, quote, limitless is defined as vast and seemingly boundless, unquote. These are appropriate descriptions of unadulterated grace. Huh? Okay. The very nature of pure grace makes it so. After all, quote, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, unquote. The sin of Israel's fall ushered in the expansive reign of God's grace, unquote. Okay, yes, the sin of Israel's fall did usher in our expanding grace, but Israel's fall happened, I'm thinking, when they killed their Messiah. I'm thinking that was Israel's fall. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking that that's opened the door for this lunatic Pharisee to be called on the road to Damascus. So you see, what Clyde's doing is very subtly here. He's transferring the argument from a discussion about the era to a discussion of grace. Clyde really wants you to think that this era, this time period, this season we're living in is limitless. And so he gets rid of that then, because he has no proof of that. He puts that over the table, over to the side, and then he brings onto the table grace. And he says, see, grace is limitless. Grace is boundless. And Paul's message is a message of grace. Grace is limitless. Where sin increases, grace superabounds. So therefore, and here's the sleight of hand that you have to see. Therefore, Clyde says, the era is limited. No. Did you see what you just did there? You're trying to prove to me the era, the season is limited, and you haven't. And so, in the interest of unconscious obfuscation, you've taken that era off, put it over to the side, brought in grace, and said, see, grace is limited. Grace is unlimited. Grace just is boundless, and so therefore the era is boundless. But you've traded in apples for oranges. You've taken grace, a topic which is not the topic of 1 Corinthians 7, you've taken grace, and you've intimated to us subtly that it's the era Paul's talking about. But it's not. So at the outset here, I see several problems. And again, I'm only pointing them out because it's important to your peace. It's important to the way you think. It's important to understand this era. After all, we're in a series within a series within a series called the Revelation series. And we are looking at God's plans for Israel. And we know that even as God has plans for Israel, he also has plans for the body of Christ that are happening within this, that it's a secret administration that's happening even while Israel is being still hardened. And God is bringing illumination to us of the intricacies and the beauties of our calling, the sparkling things that belong to us. And as he's doing this, he's giving us an awareness. This is the bonus. This is like the bonus round. It's like I'll take the limited era for 600, Alex. Ding 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 ding. The daily double. We're learning about times and seasons. We're getting backstage pass insight. We're looking into Israel's writings. We're looking into Daniel, and we're finding that we are in the final years of not only of Millennium 6, but in the era of which Paul spoke, because the Jews and the Greeks were both in the same era. We're living at the same time. I'm breathing the same air Israel's breathing in this world. They have an expectation related to the kingdom and to their prophet Daniel, whom they don't even recognize now. I have an expectation in accord with Paul. My expectation is different than theirs. But we're still breathing the same air of the current era. I find this quite interesting. And so we must distinguish those things which differ. We must. And we must not cut asunder those things which God would have us join. We should not join those things God would cut asunder. And in all of this, we must be careful. We must be detailed. We must dot our I's and cross our T's. And if there's any other trick that must be done with the alphabet, not a trick, but if there's any other law, any other rule of language to be followed, this we must do. And this, my friends, we will continue to do together.